Hello and welcome to the second funniest podcast.
Well, hello.
Episode 315. I'm your host, Justin Worsham.
Hi, Justin.
With me, as always, is the one.
Yeah.
The only.
Bring it.
The early adopter.
Here it comes.
TheKevinMiller.com.
I'm impressed with your dedication to that intro. It's like, it's probably been a year you've been doing that.
Sure.
Maybe 4 years.
I thought I started this season.
I don't remember. I'll just take the compliment.
All right, thank you.
You did a good job.
We have a lot to get to.
How are we going to do it all?
I'm going to destroy some magic. Ooh. We just wrapped up an interview with Nolan North, which was good times.
You're destroying all the magic.
I know. That's how I do it. I'm very honest.
It's a little too
almost
honest.
Almost to a flaw.
Yeah, I'd say so.
That's an inside joke. Yeah.
I think everybody gets it, though.
At least 8 people, maybe. I don't even think they get it.
I don't even get it. I think I'm in the inside of the joke.
Oh, yeah, you are.
Oh, yeah.
It's me and you in this joke.
Oh, right. Got it.
Hopefully. So we got that. I was actually able to finally talk to Jacob.
Yeah, where was I?
You were at home.
Yeah. No, I was actually at a meeting.
You were at a meeting?
Who's Jacob?
Jacob is a.k.a. Icy Fudge 123, for those of you that are fans of the 306, 307, or is it 305, 306?
We're just referring to episodes as if they were, like, show their own thing.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of the 305, 304s.
We have Trekkies with this show. They don't know topics. If you just say, you know, that was the one where Q showed up and, you know, put Picard through a test. Like, I don't know.
That's all of them. It's every episode.
Exactly.
Every episode of Star Trek Next Generation was a test. They made that clear in the last. You just hooked me into that.
Son of a motherless code. I couldn't get it to play. Oh, there it is.
You meant to press
stupid
nerd.
Oh, good for you.
Good gerb.
Oh, I have the wrong one.
Yeah, you mean to say nerd.
I have the wrong thingamajig open for the one that was.
Should I be covering for you while you press knobs?
That's not worth that.
What else is happening?
So we have the interview with Nolan North coming up on the show.
Yeah.
We have me talking to Jacob because I was in Omaha. He lives in Wisconsin. That put us in the same time zone.
Did you guys hang out?
We hung out via the Skype.
Oh, good for you.
You know, that's not applicable to every situation.
Oh, good for you.
It's also like a 2-year-old quote.
It's a trap.
Better.
All right? I love it. I think that's it. I think we got a jam-packed show.
Let's hear what happened with you and Jacob.
Let's go straight to that. For those of you that don't remember, again, to go back to what we were saying 10 minutes ago, welcome to how this show runs, jerks.
Yeah, tell them.
Jacob was, when we had Bentley and Murray
Chris
and
Murphy.
Matt Olson and Chris Murphy and then Sly Cooper and Kevin Miller, we had a lot of mics around, 2 different tables.
Some of us were animated, some of us were real.
Yeah, and then there was me, and then some guy delivered some food from Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah.
He showed up. It came up that I found through my Googling of Sly 4 and a story that it is, that there was some kid who was angry that Sly 4 wasn't going to come out for PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
And he had that Creed song, with arms wide open.
Yeah, I remember.
You know, which I think I have it right here. He had this song and little pictures of Sly, that's enough of that. And then Matt Olson threw out the idea because he thought that he was super clever and super cool.
Sly, you jump and press the circle button.
That he suggested that we give this kid a PlayStation 3. So I said, sure, yeah, that'd be funny if he could find us on the internet.
No, first he said I was going to buy him a PlayStation
3. Oh, yeah, he said Kevin would do it.
Yeah.
And then I said, oh, that'd be funny. And then Chris Murray. Or Murphy,
yeah.
Or Murray.
Murphy.
A lot of synonymal names.
Not a word.
Yes, it is. And he said, that would be cool, you know, so we all volunteered to pitch in. And I said, if he can find us and verify that he is, then all of a sudden, cut to 3 weeks later, we get an email from...
He wasn't listening to the show.
From the show. Yeah, he wasn't listening, but 3 weeks later, we get an email, and it's like, hey, guys, it's me, Icy Fudge. Like, and not really saying, hey, where the hell is my PlayStation?
He kind of did. It was insinuated. I think it was like...
I think he was more like, hey, I'm so glad you guys saw my video.
I can't believe you saw it. Where the hell is my PlayStation 3?
No, that's unfair to him.
Yeah.
That is unfair to him.
I don't know. I wasn't there to talk to him.
So, but the story is actually cool. So without further ado, let's go to our interview with Jacob Green, a.k.a. Icy Fudge 123. All right, Jacob, the infamous Icy Fudge 123. Am I right? Is it 123?
Yeah, it's 1, 2, 3.
Icy Fudge, 1, 2, 3. Now, we're recording this separate because we made some time. I am in Omaha, Nebraska, and you are in Wisconsin. Am I correct?
Yes, you are correct there.
All right. So now I'm sure what most a lot of the listeners to the podcast have already kind of know the story. But I'm curious as to how exactly you found out about the show. Because I'm going to be honest with you, Jacob. This started as an honest-to-goodness bit amongst a bunch of idiots sitting around a table in my dining room. And out of this, you are now going to receive a free PlayStation 3. So let's go back further. What gave you the idea to put that YouTube video up there?
I don't know. I was just really kind of mad. I just finished Sly a couple months ago. And I heard that Infamous was coming out, and I'm like, this is by Sucker Punch. And I was kind of mad that it wasn't going to be made. I mean, they weren't going to be making Sly 4. So I was really mad. Like, I was furious. I was a huge Sly fan back in the day. I still am, but
yeah.
He was.
And, that's Jacob's mom. Mom, what's your mom's name? Can we know your mom's name? Is that all right?
Yeah, name's Donna. Yeah, Donna.
Hello, Donna. So yeah. Nobody's going to see you, Donna, just so you know. I could see you, but this is only going to be for audio. But yeah, I just want to make sure that people knew what the voice was in the background. That's Jacob's mom, Donna. So to get back to your stories, you were enraged because you knew all these games were coming out that you were excited about, and you found yourself without a PlayStation 3, knowing that they were not going to, because some games are backward, like the wrestling games they always make for PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 2, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So
then the newest one is still there too.
Yeah, I think it is. That's what gave. Yeah. So what gives you? So now you have all this at rage. So you decide I'm going to put together a video. What was involved? Because I know there was a lot of graphics and stuff like that that you put. What was involved in making the video?
Not really much. I never really made videos before.
Was this the first video you've ever made for YouTube?
I think so. Yeah, that was my first video that I'd ever made for YouTube.
That's awesome. That's great. And the context of the video is actually you weren't asking for a PlayStation 3. You were, I don't know, appealing for Sucker Punch to release the game on PlayStation 2. Am I right?
Yeah.
So now what did you, when you put this, so you make the video, what made you decide on the Creed song? Because that's what made me fall in love with the video when I first found it through a Google search. Why the Creed?
I don't know. Honestly, my brother loved Creed and I hated Creed. Yet for some reason, I still put Creed on there.
Yeah.
And it was either that or I used some like band that I had no clue what their song was like. And I didn't feel like paging through like 500 songs. So I just picked Creed. I'm like, screw it, why not? So
you're this is great. Thank you so much for calling us, Jacob. So you fell in love with the song. Now, do you think that you chose the song because of the emotional weight that it carried, or you just thought, this is a, like, I want to know how much thought was put into choosing that song. Just, I'm curious.
A scale of 1 to 10, I think about 2.
That's great. So you just chose the song just to have some kind of music bed?
Yeah, I was just like so furious. Like, I don't even care. Like, you could see in that one picture of like Sly just like standing there in like some sort of heroic pose, you
know? Yeah,
but,
yeah.
And then it's like there was black fonts, you know, and then there's like black slide panel things. And it's like, that wasn't probably the best color for font. I didn't even care at that time. I just wanted to send a message out there.
Here's a bigger question, too, that I didn't think of till just now. When did you post that video?
Posted it, like, as soon as I was finished with it, honestly.
But how long ago? Like, how old is it?
That
like,
was honestly about, I think, 3 years ago. I made it when I was 9.
Oh, that is so awesome. I'm loving more and more every ounce of this story. This is great. So 3 years ago, you post a YouTube video, and did you ever hear anything? Like, did your friends ever see it? Did you do anything?
They made fun of it a lot. They're like, wow, Jacob, you're still into that Sly game? I'm like, yeah. And they're like all playing Halo and that, and I'm like, no, I'm still into the Sly Cooper games. I don't care what you guys are doing. I'm still into the little raccoons running around.
Now, are you still, I have to know too, are you still, because I know as you get older, you kind of, your group of friends can change. Are you still hanging around these same Halo playing friends of yours?
Yeah, and they've moved on to Gears of War and all that now.
Yeah.
So.
Well, now here's what I want you to do. You know, I don't want you to make them angry, but here's what I want you to tell them is that your love for this Sly Cooper game and that little video that they thought was so funny just scored you a free PlayStation 3 so they could suck it.
Yeah, I'm gonna be sure to do that as soon as this is done.
Yeah, you can invite them over to look at it, but just they don't get to touch it.
Touch my free PS3. Oh. It's not your PS3. That is my free PS3.
It is so great. We didn't talk about it very much on the show, but when you first found us and I got your email, Kevin saw your posts on our Facebook page. I got your email before that. And I sent an email to all three of them, Chris and Matt, and said, "Hey guys, guess what? Icy Fudge found us." And so Chris was the first to respond, and he said something to the effect of, "Oh, that's great." He goes, "Well, I'm in." He goes, "We got to stick by our word." Matt was actually out of town, that's why it took him so long to get back to us, and he said the same thing. So how did you find out about our show and our goofy declaration?
I was on my iPod just looking at videos, and honestly, it started out, I was looking for, like, you know, Deadliest Warrior battles, you know, for some reason I was just feeling really epic at the moment, apparently. And so then for some reason the thought popped into my head, like, what about that video, that rant video that I made a couple of years ago? I should probably go check on people if they're still hating it or loving it or not.
That's so
and
crazy.
So then I check and I'm like scrolling through the comments, and then I see this first person go like, "Hey, have you ever checked out Second Funniest Podcast? They mentioned you. They want to buy you a free PS3. I'm like, okay. Oh. And then I scroll down and there's a couple more comments. So I'm like, no way. So then I finally check it out, and then I'm a couple minutes into the podcast, and then you guys start talking about me. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, because it was right at the top of the show. That was what we opened with. I told the guys beforehand, I said, "Hey, I found this video. I think it's great. I don't know where it came from or anything, but that's awesome. I want to figure out who posted that comment." So I was going to the actual page for the video here real quick. Let's see if it'll tell me. I made this video. There's the Creed song we just heard. Podcast, so be sure. Yeah, it doesn't say, oh, that sucks. It doesn't tell us who the user was that posted that comment. That's funny. Well, that's great. I really am excited about this. I hope you're more excited, obviously, because you're scoring the PlayStation 3 out of this deal. But it's just such a great story. Let me tell you something. I have a couple of podcasts and we do an hour show. This is our third year of doing this show. I've said a lot of crazy things on the internet, and this is the first thing to come to fruition. And I love every aspect of the story. I love your rage. I love that you chose the song that made me fall in love with the video just arbitrarily. Like, it was on some list of songs that your brother had. You're like, fine, put this up here. I'm just angry. I love that your friends made fun of you for it. I love that we thought it was funny. And then out of the whole thing, we have this nice happy ending of you getting a brand new PlayStation 3. And I want you to know, we're not going cheap on anything. We're getting you I don't know the exact package. It's I can look at it here if you are patient with me. But thankfully, too, I have an Amazon Prime account. So you should be looking for an Amazon.com box. Let's see. I can pull it up right here and tell you everything that is coming. You're getting the PlayStation 3 160 gigabyte version, which I think is that's pretty much the best you can get. Am I right? Am I right on that? Or did I lose you, Jacob? Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a lot. That's more than my Xbox has. So. And yes, I've converted a little bit, guys.
You've converted? What do you mean?
No, I just... I still play PlayStation every now and then. In fact, I was playing some NBA Street Volume 2 a couple of days.
Oh, that's right. I saw that on your when you posted, when Kevin was asking what games you guys were playing. The NBA, that's like the NBA Jams, right? They changed it to NBA Street.
Yeah, it's sort of like that, except it's like the trick version of
an arcade version of basketball.
Yeah.
That's good times. All right, well, Jacob, I think that's pretty much it, unless there's anything else that you have wanted to say or anything.
I think the thing is that back then, I think if just having Matt Olson and Kevin Miller and all those guys listen to it, I think that would have been a hugest thing to me, because it's like they're the people who are the actual voices of it, and they would have the most power over me out of this whole thing. And so just them listening to it would have been like just a dream come true. I mean, I never expected that. I didn't even know that Kevin Miller was also on this podcast. I'm like, wow, he is? I didn't even know that. So
it's great. Well, and we owe a lot to you Sly fans, because to be honest, our show has kind of been meandering around without any kind of direction or theme or tone or format or anything. And then lately with this Sly 4 like frenzy, it's just kind of narrowed it in, and we're really having a good time talking a lot about video games. We love all the new fans that we've picked up, and so it is an honor and a privilege to provide you with your with your PlayStation 3. As soon as I get off this conversation with you, I'm going to order it. And I'm going to see as soon as I can get it delivered to you, I will, because I know you've been waiting very patiently while schedules and everything have gotten in our way. So, again, Jacob, I thank you very much for your video. I thank you for your passion. And I thank you for the story. It's absolutely awesome.
You know, and one more thing. I think talking about fans, what I was thinking is you know, as when they make the Sly 4, you and Kevin could probably talk to Sucker Punch about putting in like some sort of like Easter egg thing or something, like do a second funniest podcast. So Sly fans that don't know about it, they could just go there, and then it's like, that's the voice of Sly Cooper. And so it'd be really cool then. So,
yeah, well, I don't know that we have that amount of pull, to be quite honest with you. I think just so you guys have an understanding of how it works is that, yes, he's a voiceover talent. Yes, they respect him because he's the star of the game from the talent aspect. But I don't think he has the pull to dictate Easter eggs or anything, because there's a lot of man hours that I don't know that they would see a return on that. But I appreciate your suggestion. As a co-host of the Second Funniest Podcast, I would love the exposure, and that would be awesome. But I think what we've gotten from the Sucker Punch message boards and the fan spread the word has been more than adequate for me. So, yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much. I see Fudge. One, two, three. Your PlayStation is on the way. And thanks for listening. And thank you for contacting us.
Yes, it was very fun and enjoyable.
Good. So there I am.
That was amazing.
Right?
That was great.
I know I repeat myself a lot, but I just think it's so great that he had no interest in the song. It was just a random thing. Yeah. And that was what sealed the deal for me. When I found that video and I heard Creed and that sappy song, I was like, oh, this is funny.
Well, and here to prove it, I have just written you a check, Justin. I'm tearing it from the... Can you hear this?
Yeah. Yeah, now I can hear that.
That's the sound of my check. It just fell on the ground. That's for my portion of purchasing your
that
new
PS3. That accounts for one payment that I've received. I don't know what the other two jackasses are doing. I also want it to be known that I spoke to Jacob on March 24th, 2011, year of our Lord, and he received his PlayStation 3 on March 25th. I had it overnight.
So where the hell is our thank you video? Is that up yet?
No, he said that, did he say he was going to post it?
Yes, he said he was going to make a thank you video.
Oh, well, maybe he did. Did you? Maybe
I'm
we
going
should...
now.
All right, you take a look. And so, yeah, it was cool to talk, Jacob. Glad that all worked out. And I know Matt Olson and Chris Murphy do not listen to the show. So what you're going to have to do is cyber stalk them and harass them, listeners.
Yep.
Let the nerd herd be released.
Yeah. Now, what else are we doing today? What else can we do right now?
Now we got to throw to an interview that we did with Nolan North.
Who? We talked to who now?
Nolan North of amazing. Nathan Drake fame.
Yeah.
And an IMDb list that is just unfathomable.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to pardon my little bit of man crush and a little bit of broadband issues with Skype, I think.
It's not that bad. It's not that bad. And now, Nolan North.
Boom. All right, we are on the phone with Nolan North, who is a voice of Nathan Drake and many other characters, and also an actor. And what I found out when him and I first talked about him coming on the show, also, I guess, is it fair to say a former stand-up comedian? Can we say that, Mr. North?
Yes, I was former stand-up. I just, unlike yourself, I just found after a while I wasn't very good at it.
I have a friend who stopped doing stand-up because they felt like they had to constantly be mining for jokes. Like anything that happened, they had to think, oh, that's funny, I should write that down. Is that what pushed you out, or you just generally didn't enjoy it?
You know what? The thing is like I have a lot of good friends who are comedians, and they guys who do it for a living, and they're just, it's a different talent. Mm. And for me, I actually had a little bit of success. I got to open years ago. I won a contest, and I got to open for George Carlin.
Oh, that's nice. Cool. Before he died.
I mean, you know, crazy, like 11,000 people, and I was terrible, but, you know, I got in there.
How did you get that gig, can I ask?
And then, you know, I think the last one I did was, oh gosh, I think it was back in 2001 or something. I did a World AIDS Day benefit at the Laugh Factory on Sunset. And I remember looking at the bill, and the publicist on a daytime show I was on at the time, she said, you used to do stand-up. Why don't you go do this? It'd be good for the show, and you should go over. And I said, yeah, I'll do a little stand-up thing, World AIDS Day. That's a nice thing. And then I get there, and I'm in the green room, and in sitting there is Kevin Pollak, Damon Wayans, Jay Moore, Wendy Liebman, who was the female comic of the year at the time.
Wow.
Dave Chappelle. And I just remember thinking, what the hell am I doing here? And I went up and I did, you know, your like shitty little safe 7-10 minute act. And, you know, I remember Bob Goen from Entertainment Tonight gave me a high five on the way out. And I think I walked straight to the parking lot and left. I was like, yeah, you know, because, you know, you see the guys up there, they for that day, they were like working out material. And it's just, and Justin knows, I mean, it's something that, you know, you have to love it. There's something about it. And I found that I was more of a, I felt like I was acting like a stand-up comedian rather than really being a true stand-up comedian. And it's an art that, you know, I mean, that these guys that I know, they live and breathe, and they just, yeah. I mean, I find the funny in life, but the way they can bring it out is it's a special gift.
And that's a common
that
thing
I don't have.
That's a common thing here in LA too, where you'll have guys that I hope this doesn't sound like I'm saying that that's what you were doing, but that you'll have guys that will do stand up as a means to be seen by industry. That's, I think, more of a modern reason for doing it. And
to
I have
a sitcom and try.
Yeah,
to,
yeah, yeah. I have the exact opposite. Like I was.
Yeah, no. I will say that I was actually on a baseball scholarship at University of North Carolina.
Oh, wow.
When I was first at place. And you may know this if you've done the East Coast or the South. Charlie Goodnight's.
Yeah, I've worked there. Yeah, Brad Reeder owns that place.
So I at the Omni Europa Hotel, and my buddies and I went down there, and they said, "Hey," and one of my friends said, "Hey, you do impressions, and you're funny. Why don't you go do that?" And I was drunk, and I was like, "I'll do it next week." And the next week, I was opening, and I got a lot of laughs. And then, you know, the guy said, "Yeah, come on back and do it again next week." And then I, you know, was emceeing it. So it was fun. I was just like, "Wow, you know, here I am." I wasn't supposed to do it. I actually had to stop because my coach found out.
And, were you doing puppets? Was that kind of what your routine was about? Puppets mostly.
That was just my private life.
It
was impressions and different, you know, just stupid. It was awful. I can't even remember. It was so bad. It was just that puerile, immature humor when you're 18, 19, you think that's funny.
Right.
But I just remember, you know, he found out that I was doing it, made me stop, and then I literally did wind sprints till I threw up in left field of the stadium. he punished me.
So let's take that opportunity and go into your
most
background.
Popular. Well, we want to know about your most popular thing that you've done, which is General Hospital. So I looked on your IMDb and I was like, yeah, General Hospital.
That's great. Go put your head in the door and slam it. I was actually on a spinoff of that called Port Charles. It was actually my first job. I was doing stand up and some theater in New York.
Mm.
And, quite frankly, at the time, if you weren't gay, you weren't getting cast in the good shows. And I'm not. And my buddy just said, you know, hey, why don't you go to L.A. and see what happens? And I came here. I was painting houses and during the day and doing some carpentry work with a guy and people. And then I was bartending at night at different places. And, yeah, I got Port Charles.
Wow.
Which was the spinoff of General Hospital. It was I was here about 6-7 months when I landed the job. And it was supposed to be the ER for the daytime.
Oh, wow.
Port Charles is
so what year would that have been?
97, I think it was.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I moved here in 96. So 97, Port Charles was going to be the ER for the daytime. Port Charles is a town that General Hospital is set in, mm-hmm. and this show was set in the ER of General Hospital. And then, and if you think about it, it's actually brilliant marketing. You know, they were going to cross over, and
right.
I did General Hospital episodes, and then you go over here. I was never a cast member of General Hospital, but I appeared on it because we kept crossing back and forth.
Right.
And then somewhere along the line, they just abandoned the whole idea, and they brought, you know, like vampires to town. And the show went right down the shitter. It was euthanized in 2003.
So soap opera market kind of dwindling. There's not a lot of, you see Guiding Light being canceled and those sort of things. I imagine that's a sinking ship.
I have a lot of friends, from those days. And, I never really felt like I fit in there. Mm-hmm. And most of my close friends back east where I grew up would be like, the hell are you doing on a soap opera? You got a chicken chest, man. You know, you're the fight, you know. But, you know, I just fit. It was just the right role at the right time. And it was a great experience. I mean, it really was. I mean, I will be honest. I mean, the last couple of years, you know, I'm not the big barrel-chested romance hero guy. I was the rich prick doctor on the show.
Ah, yes.
It got to a certain point where the popular people really got the storylines and were working a lot.
Sure.
And when it went off, I mean, there were some other offers to go do some, and it just ultimately wasn't what I wanted to do. And that's when I met my voiceover agent. And I was trying to get on, you know, primetime stuff like most guys. I thought about going back to stand-up, but I had stand-up comedy, you know, friends who were stand-up comedians, and I was like, you know what? I'm never going to be as good as they are, and they're not really well-known.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And like I said, that's an art that's really, very specialized. You gotta have a real gift for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of crap you have to be willing to put up with, too, that also, you know, like, it's
club
not...
Club owners.
It's not the ambitious, you know, it's not a lot of people's ambition, unless you're a little off your rocker.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Did we lose you? Hello? Oh, no.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, oh, okay, good.
I thought you said, are you there? And I was like, oh, no, we lost him. But, I'm sorry I interrupted you. So, but I do want to know, like, because you said you were on a baseball scholarship in Carolina, North Carolina.
South Carolina.
Yep. South Carolina, I apologize.
No, North Carolina.
North Carolina.
You were right.
Raleigh, North Carolina.
1 point to Justin.
Thank you. And, so how does it, were you not a theater guy in high school, or was that just, you were also a theater guy who was good at baseball? How did that come about?
No, I was never a theater guy.
Never?
Never did any of that. I took a class. My career kind of ended because I actually dislocated my pitching shoulder.
Oh, wow.
When I was lifting weights, actually, my junior year or something like that.
Were you a pitcher?
That's why it's so important.
Right.
But
you have to excuse my co-host. He's not too aware of the sports.
That's good.
That's one with the hoops, right? Come on,
yeah, sure, Kevin.
EA
sure.
makes a game, I think. You can go.
Oh, I'll check that out. Thank you for giving me a reference point. I appreciate that.
There you go. I tore it up and I needed some credits, and I had done like one kind of a scene class in high school, and I did some scene, and when I finished, the teacher was crying, and I was like, "Is it that bad?" And she's like, "No, that's really good." And it was just kind of the ignorance of not knowing what to do. I've always looked at acting kind of like the way kids work. Mm-hmm. You watch kids play. They're not trying to look for their motivation. They're not really, you know, like they can be, the clubhouse is a pirate ship and they're playing and you yell, hey, you want a sandwich? They don't say, damn it, I was centered. Please don't. No, they just play. And I think, you know, essentially acting is just playing. It's just playing. It's just like really, you know, just throwing caution to the wind and just, you know, for an adult, it's, you know, putting your ego aside and just saying, yeah, let's go play. And so I did. So my point is, I was in college. I hurt my shoulder. I needed credits. So I took an acting class. I thought, yeah, it'd be fun. You know, it'd be easy because I had done it before. And I was like, it's just easy. You know, I'd done stand up. I'm like, it's performing. What do I care? I don't mind making an ass of myself.
It's half the battle.
And I got, and then they did a play. And, all the theater people, the theater majors were in it. And I ended up getting the best reviews in the paper.
Oh, wow.
And it was just sort of like, you know, and then, you know, the guy sat me down. He's like, you need to do this. This is your calling. You know, this is it, you know. And I'm, you know, so he
was
kissed
he working
me on the
a lot?
And, you know, we've been going up ever since then.
Oh, wow.
Nice. So how do you transition then? So you're doing, these were all shows that you were doing around college, or?
I did a show in college. So,
yeah.
And then, you know, my shoulder was not coming back. That was kind of over. I ended up going back to Boston. I went to graduate school. I became a reporter. I got a job in New York and New Jersey as an on-camera reporter for this little CNN affiliate that they were trying. I did that for a year, living in New York City, and that's when my buddy at Columbia, who's now the editor-in-chief of Dramatist Play Service.
Wow.
He was my roommate. He threw me in a play, and he actually went to Duke when I was at Carolina. And he said, come on, you said you should do this. And I did it. And, you know, just I found like I loved it. And I wasn't making any money as a reporter. So it was like, you know what? I'd rather be broke and happy than have a paycheck and be miserable. And being a reporter sucked. It just was miserable. Yeah, it was like,
believe it.
My stories I had to cover were like Newark teen shot and Jersey City house fire.
Oh.
It was like, oh, my God. And then one day they sent me out to do Betty Rubbles, a new Flintstones vitamin. You're going to the factory. It's like, oh, holy shit, kill me. I can't make this up.
That's awesome.
Did you make it interesting?
Yeah, so anyway, then I started doing some theater. I started doing stand-up, you know, stand-up New York. You know, I did, like, the open mics at Caroline's, but most of the time it was like God, there was a bar up on the Upper West near Columbia that I did in the back room.
Mm.
And one night it was like 13 people and six left, and I ended up just buying everybody around, and we sat at tables and just told jokes.
Oh, that's cool.
I got to get up there with a mic and talk to seven people, two of which, Justin, you'll like this, actually had tape recorders out on the table.
Nice.
What?
To record what I was saying. I'm like, you're going to record my shit?
Wow.
I scraped the bottom of the barrel.
So they were wannabe comics that were looking for some material to steal?
Yeah,
or?
For me. Yeah. The one comic.
Well, that's the place you get it from. I mean, you go to there are guys who actually tried. There's a guy in San Antonio who recently got busted for stealing material from a friend of mine who just did a Tonight Show appearance. And then, you know, 4 months later, he's doing his Tonight Show set in San Antonio. Like, people aren't going to know.
Right.
And they're like, what are you doing? Like, down to the guy's voice. Like, he was even doing the guy's voice. And then the guy called him and said, hey, you're going to start telling people what you did. Otherwise, I'm going to start making phone calls and telling them what you did, kind of thing. So it makes more sense. These guys were smarter in that they're going for somebody who wasn't a huge name then, you know what I mean?
Right.
And say, hey, if I can get an idea or a premise from that, it's a funny way to. Yeah. I almost think it's easier just to sit down and talk about your own life, but maybe, I don't know, but whatever.
No, I like this thiefing idea. That's better.
That's fun. So then, how do you transition from being like on the East Coast to coming out here to Los Angeles? Were you already doing voiceover work at that point or no?
No. You know, like I said, my buddy just looked at me one night and he just said, you know, I was talking about, doing Juilliard or going back to school, because everybody seemed to be saying, well, you haven't studied. I was at the Yale school. And I'm like, no, that sounds like horseshit. But if that's what you say. And my buddy finally looked at me and he said, go to California. I'll never forget this. Go to California. Then nobody there cares what your resume looks like.
That's true.
And, you know, and literally I flew out. Here, I didn't know anybody. I brought golf clubs and a bag of clothes. And six and a half months later, I had a 5-year contract with ABC, and and that was the start, you know. And I learned a lot, and I made a lot of good friends. And then when that show went off the air, now by the time it went off the air, I was married with one son, another baby that just was born, so I had two kids, wife, and you know, I'm like, well, what am I going to do? And you know, I ended up. You know, like maybe I should go back and, you know, I started, you know, pilot season and nothing was really clicking. I, you know, I was, you know, up for this and that. But I had met this voiceover agent, Pat Brady, and she took me under her wing and I gave her a tape of just some of the voices I do. And she said, yeah, I'll sign you. Let's go. I think you can do this. And she's still with me to this day.
It's that's cool.
You know, and it started in video games and then a odd job here and there. And then, all of a sudden, then I get this Toyota Tundra, you know, like the 2007 Toyota Tundra. You know, it's like one of these big voices. And that goes away. And then it just starts going and going and going. And then it really just kind of blew up when I did Uncharted for the first Uncharted, you know, that because that was a motion capture game. That's the suit. It's like theater. It's acting with theater, and there's other actors, and you're interacting, and So it's not just your voice. And then the game became such a hit. And then the second one comes in, and now other people are noticing that. So I'm getting hired more and more, and
it just kind of
blossomed from there. And, you know, now I'm just, now it's, you know, like as an actor, life, it's feast or famine.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, somebody once said, it's kind of like you're invited up to the buffet, and you got to put as much food on that plate before they make you go sit down again, because they will make you go sit down.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm just getting my fill of Jello and tapioca right now.
Because you may be sitting down for days.
Yeah.
So when you're doing the motion caption, are you also performing the lines that will be used in the game, or do you do those two things separately?
No. We do it all at once. It's just like, you know what I mean? I've got some great people I've gotten to work with. I mean, one of my really close friends now, who was Zoran Lazarevich, the bad guy in Uncharted 2, mm-hmm. is Graham McTavish, who's done a lot of television, a lot of film. And he's actually right now, I got an email from him today, he's down on the set of The Hobbit. He is one of the dwarfs in Peter Jackson's The Hobbit.
Oh, that's great.
And he's been... Yeah, he's booked that. He'll be down in New Zealand for 2.5 years.
So how are you mic'd when you're doing both motion capture and voice stuff?
Well, if you've ever seen the suit, it's really silly. It looks like, remember Mike Myers, Dieter, and Sprockets?
Sure, yeah.
Look a lot like Dieter, but with like a little skull cap, which, you know, it's kind of like video game yarmulke. And it kind of sits on top of your head, and... I mean, people can YouTube, the Uncharted motion capture, and they'll see, you know, so I think there's stuff in the behind the scenes, but we have this little hat and a lav mic actually sits at the top of our forehead.
Oh, okay.
And the funny thing is when we do go back into the studio to, you know, clean up some lines or do some extra ADR, we'll actually put on a cap again.
Oh, really?
With that mic there. So you have the same sound from, you know, where same, distance from your mouth.
Got it. So you put on the little video game yarmulke even when in session.
Yes.
It's pretty cool. Is it kosher?
I don't know. I'll ask. I think our director's half Jewish.
Oh, okay. He'll half know then.
He can half bless it.
Yes.
Well, perfect. That gets a story. We have a ton of questions from our listeners that they submitted via the Facebook. Do you have some time to go through some of those? Do you mind?
Of course, let's go.
All right. Do you have a list? Yeah,
is that a segue to me?
Yes.
Let's see. That was one of the big questions people wanted to know, how that yarmulke thing works. And
oh, they need to talk to the engineer. I don't know shit.
Oh no. some fans wanted to know what kind of game you play. Is there? Are you a gamer at all?
No, I'm terrible. and. You know, people are always surprised to hear that I don't play Uncharted, but you have to understand that that character moves and runs and sits and obviously talks just like me.
Right.
And when you are this bad a gamer and you keep falling off a cliff and dying, it really starts to get to you.
It's kind of weird to see how you would fall off a cliff and die. I can understand.
Yeah, it's kind of like, or you get shot in the face and you're down by, you know, and you're like, you know, I always knew it would be the Hispanic guy. But it's funny. It's a little disconcerting. I do play with my kids. My kids really like, they're young, so they play some of the Lego Star Wars and Lego Indiana Jones and those things. The problem is the games that I have gotten into, I got into the Call of Duty. And I remember when I did Call of Duty 2, they gave me the copy of it. And I ended up, I hadn't really played a game since Atari.
You're missing a few generations there.
I think we had dinner right about 6:30 at night. I popped it in.
Oh, no.
And at 3:30 in the morning, my wife walked in. She goes, "Are you still playing this?" And I don't think I had taken a leak or blinked in 9 hours.
Had you made it past the first level?
No. I mean, I just kept going. I was like, wow. And I mean, it was just, you know, it just, you know, shooting Nazis never seems to get old. and it was just a lot of fun. It was just great. And
that's a pretty solid game.
I stepped up there and I mean, but it was really kind of an illness. I was like, man, it's like, you know, I've never done cocaine because I'm afraid I might like it. You
know, and then, that's what I hear happens.
And then I lose half my shit and end up in a one-bedroom apartment with Charlie Sheen.
I don't know, Nolan. I would love to take you out on the road. Just the gems that you're coming out with now.
You should put a microphone on the table, Justin. Oh, wait. Oh. We kind of are.
Somebody also.
Justin, it's funny. One of my buddies is a comedian. He was telling me, he said, you know, if you could figure out how to get your persona, he said, because you always seem to like play the stand up when you're up there. He says, if you could just get out there and just be you. He said, you could do it. And yeah. I'm like, yeah, but I said, but I'm killing it, and I don't have the hours or the travel. And he goes, yeah, that's true. You should just stick with what you're doing. Yeah,
exactly. I was going to say, whoever this friend is, you need to ditch him big time because there's no way.
At least he's not your career counselor.
Yeah, you need to go back out on the road. And, oh, yeah, it's not good time. Especially that's the worst part about it when you have a family. Like, oh, that's just it's what's killing me right now, like to where I'm kind of kicking around the idea of not working the road and just staying around here in L.A. for a while and see how that goes kind of thing. But anyway, not about me, about you. Do you like avocados? Somebody wants to know.
What? That's
it's on here. Theo wants to know.
No, I don't, but I love guacamole.
There you go. See, that's why you asked the questions,
that's
Kevin.
Deep. Fraser Wilson asked whether or not you've ever been able to influence the project. His example is saying, instead of Drake saying this, what if he said that?
Yeah, all the time. One of the things that Amy Hennig's our writer, and she truly is a brilliant writer. And it's one of the reasons this game does so well. I do a lot of games, as you guys know. Mm-hmm. This is just, without a doubt, this Assassin's Creed as well, just a really well-written games. You know, they've written a story and they fit a game into the story rather than, here's a game and here's lines.
Yeah.
I think, but my, Amy is very, very open to like, to the ad lib. And that's kind of my strength. I think off the cuff better. I'll have a tremendous amount of lines to study, and I'm like, yeah, you know, it's not Shakespeare. I'll get it close. And, and sometimes it comes out a little bit different. We actually were rehearsing something today for Uncharted 3, and the last two lines, and I said, hey, you know what? Why don't we do this? He says, if he says this, I'll say this. And they're like, oh, that's perfect. Yeah, it's shorter and it's funnier and bang, and it's just a better button.
Oh, that's cool.
And that happens all the time. I mean, I'm actually kind of proud of a lot of the stuff that I mean, it's amazing some of the shit that makes it in there that they keep. But if people from Uncharted 2 remember where they get Chloe and Drake get to the top of the hotel and, you know, he jumps in the pool. If you jump in the pool, I came up with the idea of saying, Marco. and because, you know, here they are in the Marco Polo thing, and everybody just kind of looked at me through the glass of the recording studio. And, oh, no, he didn't just do that. I'm like, yeah, come on, let's do it again. And then, so yeah, that became that actually became like, I guess, a trophy you can get to.
Oh, that's great.
If you do it twice, you get like a trophy. That goes into whatever the game gives you.
Well, I got that trophy. I got that trophy, and it made me laugh hysterically while I was playing it, going, really, really, really?
There's like, a game of Marco Polo. Wow, so game actor and also game designer.
I know,
well done.
Right? He doesn't mess around.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it that far. I mean, I know I've come over the last 5 years of doing this for Uncharted, I've gotten really close to a lot of the people at Naughty Dog.
Yeah.
And these developers work their ass off.
Yeah,
and they are geniuses, and they get very little credit, and they deserve much, much more, because I'm telling you, if you wondered where all those people that people picked on in high school, they're making a lot of money making those games, and they're laughing at you and your ugly family.
Selling cars and hawking groceries at Ralph's.
Another question we got is, what was the weirdest voice acting experience you've had?
Oh, that's a good one.
Weirdest voiceover acting. The weirdest. Oh, I got a good one, actually. Just worked for the Japanese developer recently, and they are just kooky. I mean, they are out of their freaking minds. I mean, if you've seen some of their games, it's a different style. I mean, they're the ones who created anime porn, so, you know.
Well, it's like Japanese soap operas, these fantasy games that they build. They're so deep and long and weird.
Yeah, but this one... I don't remember the developer, but I walked into the session, and there's like one guy sitting in the back, and he's got a suit on, and he's sitting there, and like they're bringing him things. It's like he's like, you know, the sensei. He's like the emperor. And they're all kind of like, you know, bowing to him and everything. And I walk in, you just, you know, like, hey, how you doing, Nolan? How's everybody doing? And there's a pause, and everyone kind of looks at me, and then they look at him, and I swear he just goes, oh! And he has this big smile on his face, and he goes, what took Chico to Daniela? And they go, oh, no, no. He say you very handsome. And I look at him, I go, thanks. I mean, we're here for the game, right? It was like, I didn't know. I was waiting them for to unzip his pants. Like, I was like his fluffer who just finally showed up.
Wow.
And I'm like, gotta be. And then I started doing the job, and like, I'd be doing, and I do this voice. And then they say, oh, he wants to say something. And they clicked the button so I could hear him, and he just went, good.
Wow, that sounds. It almost sounds like you were the victim of a practical joke,
right?
Like, that they were like trying to play some stereotypical Japanese characters. That's so awesome.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you think that Ashton Kutcher might be punking
you.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
Then your second thought is, I'm not famous enough for Ashton Kutcher to be punking me. It was bizarre. I mean, and these were just little incidental characters. I'm not always the, you know, I don't really care. I mean, it's a job's a job. And I mean, I was just doing these, and I knew the director, and later on, I'm like, I called him back and I said, what in the Christ's name was that? And he's like, yeah, he's really strange. I don't know. He's like one of the big guys at the developer, and he's like, he flew here. And I'm like, well, don't have him in there next time. Next time you have a freaky job like that, leave me off the list.
Another question.
Yeah, I was waiting for the rape, but
oh man, that's an achievement, by the way.
I know, right? That's another trophy for that.
Yeah.
Another listener, Joel, wants to know what are the advantages and disadvantages of doing motion capture for cutscenes instead of just saying the lines in the booth? Like, do you have a preference between the two?
Well, I get paid more for motion capture.
Hey,
so
there it is. Yeah.
Is it because it's more like, is it more of an acting thing, or is it just because there's more hours involved?
My suit was actually tailored and fitted custom to me by the tailor who did all the Avatar people.
Yeah. And you're memorizing lines, like you're going off and doing scene work, you're doing rehearsals, none of that stuff you have to do in regular voice work.
Yeah. Yeah. But the thing about it is you have interaction with another actor most of the time. In the voiceover booth very frequently, and it's changed lately. On my last Assassin's Creed, Kristen Bell and I actually recorded together so we could get more of that interaction. And more developers are doing that.
Yeah, because it turns out the story is important in video games, and they're like, oh, we should include
this.
Yeah,
you know, but I think it's becoming more of a cinematic experience. I mean, people, you know, it's not just the time, oh, the cinematic, I'm going to go grab a drink and take a leak real quick.
Right.
It's like, no, it's like, you know, or pause, fast forward. I mean, people are enjoying them more.
Yeah.
And, listen, there's a reason people like Gary Oldman did Call of Duty. I mean, they're not stupid. They know that, you know, Barry Pepper is doing video game voices now. I mean, they, you know, unfortunately, they're getting paid a whole hell of a lot more than I do. But you know, that's because they're celebrities, and it's just the way it is. I really like the motion capture. I think you get a really good cinematic experience. But you know, with the right script, you can bring it to life off the page in a booth just as well. But it's just my preference, moving and acting, and you're allowed to, you know, come up with something different. You're interacting with other actors. I think it's going to give you a better product in the end. But, you know, as long as the check clears, I'll do it both ways.
Justin Patrick Carson wanted to know who's your favorite voiceover actor?
Oh, wow. You know what?
You can say yourself, I suppose, if that,
yeah,
if that helps.
Yeah, no. it would be lying and it wouldn't be true. No, I have a few. There's a guy named Rob Paulsen, who's always been one of my favorites. Rob was one of the Warners and Animaniacs. He was Carl Weezer and Jimmy Neutron. And
pretty
Carl
much name
Weezer,
a cartoon, and he's in
talk
it.
Like this. And he's also a great guy. Frank Welker is a legend of all time. Yeah. Jim Cummings, just amazing. Jeff Glenn Bennett. Nika Futterman, who does Fanboy and Chum Chum, is a dear friend of mine. In the video game world, Fred Tatasciore is a very, very good friend of mine, who I actually owe a call to.
You Skyping on his show, too?
But, you know, Steve Bloom. I mean, I have so the good thing about voiceover is there's very little ego. I do an on-camera show, too, I'll give it a plug, Pretty Little Liars on ABC Family. We just got a second season pickup, 25 more episodes.
Congrats. That's huge.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, I think I was in five of the first 20. So, you know, I don't know if I really had much to do with it, but the I'll have some more to do this year. But I got to tell you, it's just the voiceover, there's such a lack of ego, and you're just really appreciated more for what your talent is rather than who you might be or what you might look like. So, you know, I mean, I am such a fan of voiceover actors. I'm doing a new show on Nickelodeon called Robot and Monster, which comes out in the fall.
Yeah.
And I've gotten a chance to, you know, sit down and meet Bill Fagerbach, you know, who is Patrick Starr.
Yeah.
You know, from SpongeBob and SquarePants. You know, I know Tom Kenny. You know, I've gotten to know Tom. I mean, I have kids, so the cartoons are on all the time. I just have so much respect for them because they just continually, they're always working and they're always good.
Yeah.
You never see them like, they never suck. They're just really good.
Well, there's a couple,
you know, and they're just normal people. They're normal people with families, and you don't see them, you know, trashing hotel rooms. You know?
Right.
You
know? That's none the comedians. That
just, there's none of the drama, but they're working actors, you know? And so, I have so many. I mean, I wish I could tell you this one.
Right.
It's Anthony Hopkins is my favorite on-camera actor. I can tell you that. But as far as voiceover goes, there's just too many to list.
Now, who are you in Robot and Monster?
I play a few. I'm not Robot or Monster. Robot is Curtis Armstrong, who was Booger from the movies Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah, that's cool.
Moonlighting. I mean, he's done everything. Great guy. And Monster is actually a stand-up, Harlan Williams.
Oh,
very two cool. Great voices. Those are two awesome, like just really nicely put together voices. That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
pretty cool. It's great casting. And I actually play four or five different recurring guys that keep coming in.
That's pretty great.
One of whom is a big crocodile that always is beating them up. His name is Crikey, and he's from Australia. Oi, come over here. I'll bust your head open.
Oh, that's pretty great.
Yeah, so it's a lot of fun. And those guys are just classic.
I just auditioned for that show. If I get it, I'll let you know.
You know what? Here's the thing, people. It's as a father with children, it is one of the cartoons that I will watch with my kids.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Because it's great humor for the kids and the visuals, but there's humor in there that will make you look at your wife and be like, right. Get it? It works. You know, kind of like the way SpongeBob would make you laugh.
Absolutely.
Another person wants to know, what's your favorite character that you've done the voiceover? If Nathan Drake is your favorite, do you have a second favorite?
Yeah, I love Nathan Drake because, quite frankly, the whole job has changed my life and my career. Yeah. I mean, financially and professionally, it's really kind of helped me step into another echelon, I guess. I got to tell you, Deadpool.
From the Hulk versus Deadpool.
Thor.
Hulk versus Wolverine, where I played Deadpool, and then in all the games. It was great because the movie, I had done Wolverine in the X-Men, where I was Cyclops, and a couple other characters, but my main role was Cyclops. And Craig Kyle, the producer, executive producer and the writer, who's he called me and he said, listen, we've had this done for this movie, but I want you to come in and redo it for me. So I called in to replace someone out of Canada, I guess, who had done a really good job. But they said, he said, here's the problem. He just did it by the script. I said, okay. He said, I just want you to go in there. You don't have to match mouth flaps because Deadpool, you can't see. And I want you to make it up.
Oh, cool.
And I said, really? And he goes, yeah, there's. I'll give you some lines and what the context is, but I want you to make up from what you see, whatever comes to your mind. And that's how we did it.
That's pretty cool.
So much of that stuff in there that if you ever get to see the movie, you'll watch and you'll go, he made that up. I mean, this is one part. It's like, you know, they showed me the clip without the sound in, and I'd watch his action. And, you know, I mean, they kept stuff like you know, I can't remember, like, you know, it's like, yeah, shot you right in the ass, you know.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And that's not going to get in the thing. I was just messing around. That's what they kept. They kept.
Well, that fits. That makes a lot of sense. So, like, with that character kind of being a smart ass, you can't really do like a scripted read. That's cool.
He's the merc with the mouth. And apparently the story goes, I talked to Craig recently, and he said that he actually met, he's a producer now on the new Thor movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
The live action one. And he was talking with Ryan Reynolds, who did Wade Wilson in, what is it? Last X-Men movie.
Oh, yeah.
He said he wasn't happy with the direction that they took Deadpool. And he said, yeah, the only person who's ever gotten it, he said, your guy on your movie, Hulk Versus, the only one who's gotten it right.
Wow.
Nice.
So it's nice to hear that from Reynolds, because I happen to be, I like him. I am a fan of his.
I know. I think that guy's hilarious. I have another interesting question. This comes from Matt. He says that he knows that you were born in Connecticut. Creepy. But he wants to know if you live there or if you were there for any particular amount of time. Is there anything you liked about living in Connecticut, like food, places, events?
I was born in New Haven, and moved out of there before I was really conscious of being alive. We were probably about three, and I moved to, you know, south of Boston, and then when I was 10, I moved to Rhode Island. I'm a New Englander, but my mom gets really pissed if I don't tell people I'm from Rhode Island, because that's where she is, and she, you know, that's where her dog groomer is. So I don't know what that has to do with anything, but. That's important to her.
That seems important. Do you want to tell us anything about any of your upcoming stuff, Outback or not the restaurant, Uncharted 3 or anything? Any tips, hints, secrets you want to reveal?
No. No, you know what? They stop paying me if I start grabbing my... Outback should be really interesting. Outback was a really cool little deal, and I wasn't sure. I didn't know it was a film that I was doing until I got there.
Oh, cool.
Thought it was like, you know, another game, whatever, and I was like, oh, this is really cool. And the producers and that could be a really cool cool little movie. You know, I guess the only thing I can really I'm not promoting, but everybody check out Robot and Monster this fall. Young Justice, which is airing on Cartoon Network. I'm Superboy and Superman.
Nice, you got them both. Well done.
Thank you. Just get ready for this. There's a lot of great games coming out. And, was it November 1st, Uncharted 3. I think everybody knows about it. And I'll come back. You know, when we get closer, I'll have to give you guys a call and try to, you know, weasel my way back onto your show and tell you about some more stuff.
That'd be great.
As information becomes available, I'll let you know.
You could sneak it in there. Well, Justin's a huge fan of the thing, and he's been containing himself a lot throughout this entire episode. He's a huge fan.
I don't want to interrupt you. I want to let every little word come out because I'm a as I told your management.
I think Justin's got the stand up gift because I said, who's this guy Justin Warsham? And I watched some of his stand up, and I'm like, oh, he's good. Oh, and he's talking to my kind of people with the kids.
Yeah.
The humor about it. It's like, oh, do I know that?
Well, don't think I'm not going to try and con you into being on my other podcast where we can talk about none of this video game stuff. We can talk about the real thing. We're changing the world of the future.
Right.
Being fathers. Yeah. That's what it's all
changing
about.
Changing diapers. That's
what right. Dealing with crap up to your ankles all the time and the uncomfortableness of cleaning your son's junk. Things like that.
Did you just
sell
out this show for
I
your
did.
Show?
I did. Because
really
I love
did.
This man.
You know what though? I'm at a different. You know what? We could talk about that because I'm at a different stage where, you know, I just had to have the talk.
Oh, really?
I had to have the talk about like, I'll save it for the other.
Yeah,
one.
That'd be awesome.
Definitely, that's great.
You
know, good little sneak peek.
You'll appreciate this because I got to talk about like sex and like why would people do that, Dad? I just looked at him and I said, why would you put that there? And I went, and I just, it was that epiphany. And I just said, because it feels awesome. And I thought to myself, that's probably not a good idea,
the
but it's too
message.
Late. It's
that's great.
Was this your son that you had to talk with?
No, it was my father.
That's awesome.
I thought you may have had a daughter. If it's a son, I think that there's no real harm or foul.
How old is your boy?
I was with my 11-year-old son.
11.
My 7-year-old keeps picking up Cosmos and Women's Fitness and giving them to my wife and saying, we need this.
What is he pointing at? Is he pointing at the hot chicks in the magazine, or is he pointing at, like, recipes?
Yes, no.
He's trying to score his young version of the Victoria's Secret catalog.
Yeah,
that's what he's trying to score.
No, my wife came to me, and she said, can he, yet at 7? I'm like, I don't know. He's got B.O., maybe.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a done deal. Yeah, we got to have you on the Dad Podcast.
Well, I'll do it, buddy.
Mr. North, I cannot thank you enough for taking the time.
Don't do that. I'm about your age. You don't call me. You call me Nolan.
Mr. Nolan, I can't thank you. I can't thank you enough for taking the time. I appreciate it very, very much. But we'll let you go, and I will definitely be in touch, sir.
Don't call
him, absolutely.
Sir.
And you know what, everybody, thanks so much for all the support, the recognition. It's a lot of fun. I wish I had like a charity I could say support your local Wildebeest Foundation or some shit.
Japan is very popular right now.
I really appreciate it, and I will definitely do it again. We'll have some more laughs.
That'd
yeah,
great.
I got a foundation I'll create in the meantime. We'll do Cosmos for 7-year-olds. That's what we'll do.
Drink.
We'll get them out there. We do both.
Sweet.
All right. Thanks again, Nolan. I appreciate it very much. We'll talk to you later,
guys. You have a good night. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Still rolling.
Yeah. Nolan North.
There it is.
On the show.
That was amazing.
That was awesome. I feel bad about the audio stuff that we had to deal with.
I think it was fine. Were you playing with knobs or something there?
No, that's just the broadband situation that we have.
How much time we got left? Do you want to listen to some, since we're listening to stuff?
We have about 18 minutes.
Oh, wow. So yeah, we could have kept him on the hook for a long time.
Yeah, but we had everything.
Yeah, but he could have told us about something.
No, I'm gonna save it. I'm saving it all for the
you're
dad
in love
episode.
You're glowing.
I like that guy. I mean, he's a cool, he's a funny guy, you know.
I think he liked you. I think we definitely
hit it off.
You definitely had a spark. It's good. It's good. You're glowing. You should see this man right now. He is glowing.
I'm not glowing. Here's the thing.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan of the game. I'm also now, after hearing him talk, I'm a big fan of his talent. It's like
a
natively born Latino person being able to just roll their R's on the whim. You know what I mean? Like,
well, if you go to his IMDb page, I was like, oh, I want to see some other projects. I knew he did Uncharted and knew he'd done some stuff with X-Men. But then it just keeps, we didn't even ask him about the Ninja Turtles. He's on that. It just rolls and goes and goes. It goes back in time, and he's got like 50 things in 1 year. It just keeps going. And you know every word on the page. He was in Infamous. We should have asked him about that. He's calling you. He's on your phone right now. He was in Mad World. He was in Halo Wars. He was in Lord of the Rings. He was in Destroy All Humans. He was in CSI New York. SOCOM, Crash, Surfer Dude. I don't know what that is.
You don't know what a Surfer Dude is?
It's some, I don't know, it's a guy.
Or he's a Surfer Dude in the movie Crash.
CSI Miami.
You're just listing more credits now.
Spider-Man 3.
Well, the funny thing is to hear all of these credits and look at his jam-packed IMDb page and then have his friend say, you should really think about doing stand-up.
Like, yeah, exactly.
I know, and I've commented on it on the Facebook page.
I regret not asking him about the video game Interstate 82.
Well, he already said he was going to come back on the show once.
Call him back on the line. He couldn't
Uncharted comes back out, and so we'll make notes of all of this stuff, and maybe next time we'll be able to actually get him here in front of our faces, so I can just
feed him spaghetti,
stare at him awkwardly, while he talks,
and say, "Oh, very good."
You're a very handsome man. Good.
Pretty much what this show is like,
right?
All the time.
I forgot what I was going to say now. I can't remember. Oh, look at that. He sent me a nice text message.
Oh, really? See, it was him. I knew it was him. Backyard Barnyard, the series.
Says, thanks. A lot of fun. Talk with you soon.
Golden Compass, the video game. This guy is the real deal.
Yeah.
Gears of War.
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
Two.
So this guy who's recommending that he does stand-up or whatever, it's not an admirable lifestyle. Now, if you're a Chris Rock, if you're a Seinfeld, if you're one of the members of the Blue Collar Comedy Tour, yes, then mm-hmm. it's not a bad life. The kind of the unofficial word is that once you have a following, once you have an audience that can fill out a club in most markets.
But see, this is typical for American thinking, is that if you have a talent in something,
you should be using it.
You should be doing that thing.
Which he is, though.
Exactly. He's just not using it for stand-up.
He made Deadpool funny on a movie, and it's his favorite role, and now, you know, everybody, like, even we had somebody listen who's like, oh, that was great. He was
That's
awesome
the thing.
On it.
Like, I love improv. If improvisational theater was a viable profession where I could feed my wife and keep my apartment in my name, I would do improv. But I can't. There's no place that's going to pay me enough to do that.
Yeah.
When people see me like, you should do improv. You're right. Yeah. I should be doing improv. But there's no way to earn a paycheck doing improv. So, yes, he should be doing stand-up when he's got free time after his kids graduate.
No, he
should. For fun. He should go to open mic nights.
No.
You should go out with him.
Definitely
and take him
not.
To an open mic night and just let him talk.
No, definitely not. You can't do an open mic in Los Angeles. Now we're getting like really regional with the show. But
go.
I'm saying,
take him somewhere else.
There's no open. I'm saying this right now. There is no open mic in Los Angeles that is worth getting up on.
Okay. Road trip to Nevada. You and him.
There
together.
Is no open mic in Nevada. That is most. I've been to open mics in San Antonio, Texas, where this is where real comics that are starting out in a small market, they're supposed to cut their teeth. Yeah. And it is the same as Los Angeles.
Wow.
It is horrible.
Road trip to Tallahassee. That's my final offer. That's like a 6-day road trip. You can spend the entire time just gawking at him and going, you're so handsome.
That I'll do.
I thought so.
That I'll do.
I was trying to help you. I'll do. You found your new BFF. Maybe you too will start another podcast.
I'm going to have time if I'm staying home from the road. Going to have time. Going to need more talking to fill it. Otherwise, my wife is going to hear too much.
Yeah.
Not going to want to listen.
Yeah.
But I do want to address this because didn't want it to seem passive aggressive. I posted some, I don't even know where I put it, somewhere on one of the Facebook comments where there were questions coming in, where there's a common thread now that where people say, like if we have a voiceover at Talon, they say that person's name and you.
Yeah.
What would you guys like to do?
Right.
And I said on the thing, I said, hey, listen, I appreciate everybody making it perfectly clear that I am not to speak on the topic of voiceover acting. I will stick to my yuck jokes and being a gone or something else.
Somebody asked a while ago if we could play each other's characters. They wanted me to be the KFC black guy and you to be Sly Cooper.
I would need prep to listen to Sly Cooper.
So would I, but let's do it right now.
Okay.
Take me to KFC. What's the plan, Bentley? That's pretty good. All right.
Check that off the little Facebook list.
I'm impressed.
All right, awesome. Yeah, well, listen to Mia. Here's what we'll do. We'll say goodbye now.
Okay.
And then we'll put Mia's segment at the end of the show. How does that sound?
I love that plan.
Right? It's a great plan.
And if we have any ideas, we can respond to Mia.
So I want to say you could send us an email. That's what I want to say, to show@secondfunniestpodcast.com or give us a call, 408-228-4911. Due to the guests, I know that some people have voicemails that I have a note that we need to get to, all of that stuff. Please don't think that we don't want to read your emails or that we don't look at them. It's just that I talk a lot.
And post it on the Facebook and I'll talk to you because I have nothing better to do but to talk to you on Facebook all
Boom.
Day. That's what I
dynamite.
Do.
I'm not going to worry about plugging any of my stand-up dates. Go to justincomedy.com if you want to participate in what could be the farewell tour of Justin.
Aww, that's sad.
I don't know. We'll see.
SecondFunniestPodcast.com, Facebook.com/SecondFunniestPodcast. Follow us on Twitter, Second Funniest.
Yes.
Look at that, social media.
Also, we are now sponsored by GameStop, so you can go to SecondFunniestPodcast.com and click the banner. And that'll take you through to GameStop's website. And anything you buy, any video game you buy, they give us a little kickback. We get a little taste off of that.
And right now, there's a whole bunch of sales. I'll post them on Facebook. But if you buy through us, you get some extra little discounts. They have 60% off during their Power Saver sale on GameStop.com. Free shipping with a special code you can get from us. Call of Duty Black Ops for PS3 and Xbox is only $49.99. That expires at the end of April. And you can buy a 3DS bundle at GameStop and save on that as well, all through us. Because we are your hookup.
And what can help us, too, is if you go to Second Funny's Podcast. You don't have to be 18 to participate in this, but you could take our survey. There's a link on the left-hand side where it says take our survey.
Yeah.
And that gives us a demographic study that we could give to companies that can get the show sponsored. And then Kevin could maybe do this show and afford to feed his wife. And
That'd
this could be his improvisational outlet.
That'd be great.
And then I can... What stop are you doing stand-up.
No, you never. You're too good at stand-up. You should always do stand-up.
Nope.
You should go on the road right now. You should call Nolan.
See you later, everybody. I would love to go out on the road. The guy's funny. I like that guy. Anyway, on behalf of, I want to say thank you to Mia, who we're about to hear from on her Lady Gamer segment. I want to say thank you to Jacob. That was good times. Not my son, the green guy.
Got it.
I want to say a special thank you to Nolan North.
Yeah.
Mr. Nolan North.
Woo. Which he loves it when you call him by that name.
And on behalf of my good friend Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worsham saying, okay, bye. Here's Mia. Good call.
Yeah, yeah.
Hello, Second Funniest Podcast listeners. It is time for the new segment known as Mia the Lady Gamer. If you haven't noticed already, I'm kind of sick right now, and I'm trying to record this because my voice, I'm losing my voice steadily. And before I get my Fran Drescher on completely, I want to make sure that this thing gets freaking recorded, because I started, and then because I got everything set up, and I just want to make sure this gets done. Yes, I sound horrible. Stop making fun of my voice. Anyways, so because I already mentioned Fran Drescher, you know, I thought I might as well do a little impression. I haven't done my Fran Drescher impression in a long time. I should probably edit this out. Anyways, okay, so this is my introductory segment. I'm going to attempt to record some more segments later, if possible, because I'm not sure how much I'm going to be able to record. Okay, so I put an intro thing about what's going on with me joining the show up on Facebook, and I got a few questions, so we're going to answer them. Philip asked a series of them. Some of them were very interesting, and I'm going to put that into a more long-winded one about from the gamer girl's perspective. But let's just start off with simple ones. What is your favorite game? A while ago, it was Jack 2. I apologize, Kevin. But now I'd probably have to say it's Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. I love that game forever. I know it came out in 2003, and I just got my hands on the game like a couple years ago or so. But it is one of the best games I've ever played in the history of forever. Still haven't finished it. Because I get to the end and then my stats fail so terribly that I can't beat the final boss. And I'm like, what the heck? When did I start playing video games? Ooh. Well, I'd often go over to my cousin's house and they had a Genesis, Sega Genesis. And I was like, oh, hey, that's pretty cool. But I wasn't interested in it because I was a girly girl and I enjoyed Pink and Barbie. So I was like, video games are for boys. Ha, how things have changed. And then, truth be told, the first console that came into my house was actually a PS1. First games I played was, an adaption of the Tarzan movie, the Disney one. Gorgeous animation. Well, in the movie, not in the game. The video game adaptation of A Bug's Life. Yeah. And then we got... No, first we rented Crash Team Racing. With best PS1 games of all time. We rented Crash Team Racing. And back when you could still, you know, rent consoles and it was totally okay. And then... And then after we rented Crash Team Racing, we're like, dude, we totally got to get a PS1. Awesome, let's do this. And now, because we now collect game consoles, we now have a total of 11 game consoles. We have a... this is the order in which I think we got them, so I could be off by a couple. Okay, we got PS1, PS2, Sega Dreamcast, PlayStation Portable, the Sega Game Gear, the Sega Saturn, N64, Wii, Atari 2600, Xbox 360, and a PS3. So, and we're deal hunters, so my mom managed to get her hands on, like, an N64 for free. I still don't know how she did that. Okay. When did I start listening to the Second Funniest Podcast? Well, okay, we're just going to get this straight right here. I'm a creeper. I am a serious creeper. I really, really, really like voice actors. I follow them more than, you know, normal actor, on-screen, whatever actors. And because I really like, you know, the animation process and cartoons and whatnot. And I've actually memorized the vocal ranges of several voice actors. And when I started playing the Sly Cooper games, I'm like, wow, Sly Cooper's got a pretty cool voice. I should probably memorize his vocal range and add it to my list. See if I can hear him in any cartoons, because, like, I'll watch cartoons. I'm like, oh, Tom Kenny. Oh, Great Lyle. Oh, Tara Strong. Oh, Danny Kaye. No, David Kaye, not Danny Kaye. What am I saying? Anyways, so I was looking for information on him, and I couldn't find anything. I'm like, what the heck? And that was, like, years ago when I first started playing. I think it was, like, what, 10th grade? I'm, like, 20 now, so... And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to see if I can find any information on Sly 4. And then I'm like, and then I was like, out of nowhere, snap, dude, look, there's totally a trailer. What? And then I saw this thing on the second, on the, no, not Second Funniest Podcast, but on the Sucker Punch forums. And if I had known that there was a podcast, I would have started listening to it years ago. I really would have. But yeah, I started listening at the one that was listed Sly 4 ? And I was also disappointed. They didn't say anything. And then I learned more and or more about the game Seaman, which I will now have to get for my lovely Dreamcast. So, so yeah, that was roughly when I started listening. And then I started listening to some back episodes because I have ADHD. I like to have something to listen to while I'm doing my Photoshopping, and otherwise I'll go off and do other things while I'm supposed to be doing my Photoshopping. And so, yeah, I use you guys as my white noise. Congratulations. If I had children, would you let them play violent games and movies? Not really. It depends on the violent game and movie, because, yeah, it depends. I'll get into that in a bit. Okay, what's your opinion on theories that violent games make you a violent person? Bull. Okay, I understand that to a certain point it desensitizes you, but it also has to take into account the mental state of the person, too. Because there's, like, I get really squeamish really easily. So if the blood and gore on the screen, like, appears realistic, I will freak out. But if it's like, oh, look at all those polygons just splashing around like water, that doesn't look like blood. I'm like, yeah, whatever. But, yeah, I'm not too into the violent games and movies. If I like explosions. That's my thing. I come the Spanish side of my family. We like to light things on fire, so I think the first rated T game that I played, I actually played it when I turned 13 or 14, somewhere around that range. It was Jack 2. Jack 2 was the real first T rated game that came to the house. Absolutely loved it to pieces. But other than that, no. And also the thing is, if I had children, I don't even have a boyfriend at this point. So, yeah, not going to happen at this point in time. Okay, my favorite kind of music, 80s music. Hex, yes. All the way across the sky. So bright, so vivid, the colors, the glow sticks, everything. Also... Final question before I start recording for the next one. If I was stranded on a lonely island, that's apparently the UK version of deserted island, and I could choose to take one thing with me that is currently in the room that I'm in, what would I take with me and why? Well, I was originally going to think, you know what, I should take some pants with me. Pants are pretty important. And then I thought, oh, hey, I got my Bible, but then my Bible would get messed up from the humidity and the sea air and stuff. And I'm like, well, that would suck. And then I thought, you know what? I should bring a roll of toilet paper in here before I begin. And that would totally work. And then I thought, oh, the toilet paper is going to run out. And then I thought, oh, I totally forgot my pocket knife. I'd totally take my pocket knife with me. Yeah, I got like, my mom got me a Swiss Army knife a long time ago. And I'm like, heck yeah, let's use it. I'll take that because... I won an award at my school, in my animation class, and I got some, drawing supplies, and I got some really cool artist carpenter pencil thingies. I'm like, I can't sharpen these with, like normal pencil sharpener. Mom, can I have a knife? Sure. Awesome. So, yeah, I take my knife with me, because I think that would be pretty cool. So anyways, this is Mia or Steve or Fran Drescher. I don't really care what you choose to call me at this point in time. Okay, bye.